come to an end today. We have talked about this idea of being unfinished for quite a few weeks, the idea that so many of us, as we live our lives, have this sense of uneasiness, and we think that we, again, arrive when we join the church, when we confess faith in Christ, and everything's going to be perfect, and we think that it's an end instead of a beginning, and we have to have this attitude of all of us are unfinished. And as we live our lives on this earth, we have to have this idea that every day is a new adventure, and we move forward asking those questions: what is our truth? What is it that really centers our lives? What is it that shapes our lives? We have to ask that question: do we understand the truth that is God's story of love? That ongoing kind of pursuit of God's creation. Are we aware of what part or role we play within this world as God's children, as people seeking God? And we never really arrive. And that's okay. It may feel a little unsettling, but it's a good thing because we continue to grow. We are unfinished. And we continue to be that creation that's evolving, that's moving forward for the kingdom of God. Throughout this journey, we've talked a lot about individual stories. Again, about how we relate or understand to the story of Christ as people. And yet, this morning, I'd like us to continue a journey that we really began last week. And that is to ask this question of how is it that we live together as a body, as a team, or, as I just said to the kids, what does it mean to be the church in today's world? What does it mean to be the church in today's world? God organizes and calls us to community, to churches. And we're composed of the individuals, like we talked about, whether it be nose or eyes or hands or feet, each of us with a position to play on the team. But from there, what is the church? And as we think about this idea of being unfinished, as we think about this idea of continually growing and changing and going through this metamorphosis of life, what is it that the church should be? What is it that the church is in today's world? Well, there's one thing, and it's simply this. The church is a nice place to get together. It's kind of nice to be able to get together on a beautiful morning. It's nice to hear the organ. It's nice to hear the music play. It's nice to sing songs. It's nice to see friends. It's nice to see people. It's a club. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. It's supportive. It's nice. It's nice. Is that what God calls the church to be? Is that who God calls us as a community to be? From the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus came to them and said, All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Dallas Willard, many of you know him as an author, said this: I do not know of a denomination or local church in existence that has as its goal to teach its people to do everything Jesus said. Let me say that again. Dallas Willard, I do not know of a denomination or a local church in existence that has as its goal to teach its people to do everything Jesus said. The church is unfinished. Just like each of us, the church continues to grow and change and is unfinished. Sometimes it is unsettling, but the truth is, we as the church are called to be that place of a new chapter. Every day, every moment, a new chapter to extend the good news of Christ in the world. To glorify God by fulfilling the Great Commission, which I just read to you. That we are called to be a place of reconciliation, a place where we are ambassadors, where we bring God's appeal to the world, where through us we are called to rally together, and as Jesus has said, teach and obey and share the good news of Christ with the world. Or as an Old Testament prophet put it, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn. Today is a day in which, when we look at who are we as the church, we are called to proclaim the story. We are called to bring compassion, love, and concern into our world. We are called to stand for justice in the world today. Jesus modeled it in a very Old Testament way, and I love this. We are called to turn back the curse, to turn back sin, to turn back disease, to turn back demons, to turn back death. We as the church are called to that life of proclamation, compassion, and justice. So as we look at the 21st century, as we look at this idea of needing to continue to grow as the church, needing to admit that we are unfinished, that we are no longer our parents' church, we are no longer our brother or sister's church, but we are the church of today and of tomorrow. How is it that we move forward? What are the hallmarks of the church? Or another way to put it for me this morning is, I was thinking about this whole idea of what is the church's corporate palette. Does anybody know what a corporate palette is? Anybody? Any of you here? Corporate palette. I got exposed to this a few years ago by working on a board and working on planning. And it was with a large organization, corporate organization. And we were going to make t-shirts. And when we looked at making these t-shirts, I said, boy, it would be really cool if we could do this color scheme. It would be awesome. It would be, you know, people, it would draw attention. People would see it, and they'd be like, wow. Slowly, somebody raised their hand and said, it's not part of the corporate palette. Said, what's the corporate palette? They said, well, here are the colors of our corporation. I said, what? He said, yeah, these are the four colors that we use for our corporation. You can either use this one, or this one, or a combination of these. But what you've designed, we can't do. It's not the right color. I said, you're kidding me. No, this is what we stand for. These are our colors. So as I thought about it, I was thinking again about that glorious evening a few nights ago when the Cubs won the World Series. I thought, okay, corporate colors. I mean, you know, if you're a Cubs fan, you're going to wear basically what's that bright color that's probably number one in the Cubs uniform? Probably that royal blue with the trim that's usually what? Red. If you happen to be mourning this morning, as a Michigan fan, you'd say that the corporate colors of U of M are what? Maize and blue. If you're a Detroit fan and you're really hopeful because they've been actually winning, that's that, like, does somebody know it? It's like Kokomo blue or something. It's weird. What's it called? Honolulu blue. There you go. Corporate colors. You know where you stand. You have the terrible towel nights, you know, where they have those prominent colors. What's the corporate palette of the church? What are the colors that we should fly as the church as we move forward, as we look at, again, transforming ourselves? First is worship. That the church must be, above all, a place of worship where people come together to worship the very majesty of God, where we acknowledge the power and the authority of God, where we celebrate the love and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that God is in awe when we worship, that the Spirit fills this place when we worship. And because of worship, we are empowered. We are transformed into new creations to move forward into the world. And we have to realize, and this is the tough one today, right now, worship is about who? God. And yet so often in our world today, worship is about, well, are people going to be happy? Are people going to think it's cool? Wow, worship, wow, that really made it, oh, that was all, oh, I love that. I love that song. Folks, I got news for you. This isn't about us. It's not about Pastor Paul. It's not about North Park Church. It's not about whether or not we sang your favorite or didn't sing your favorite. It's about Almighty God. And the first corporate color that we must wear is a spirit of worshiping a living, powerful, transformational God. Not about what the world says worship might be. And because of that worship, we become models. Second mark, second color of the church. That we demonstrate a new way of living. That when we read Isaiah 61, we start to live in a manner in which we understand we are anointed to preach the good news, to bind up the broken heart, to preach freedom to captives, to release those from darkness, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We are called to be models in the world today. As I said earlier, to turn back the curse. To be able to be people of love and compassion, of values, of actions, to become light in the world today. We spoke very briefly as we gathered before worship as leadership. And I said, I've been so saddened again by this whole election thing. And it's not I won or I lost. It's because of the despair that I sense in our society. It's because people think that there is a hope in a human being that can transform their lives. And the truth of the matter is, we are called to be people who model something different. Or another way to put it is, we worship, we model, we disciple. That we invest our time and we invest our energy to be more conformed to the will of God. That we disciple ourselves. Again, Dallas Willard said it best. I don't know of a denomination or a local church in existence that has as its goal to teach people to do everything Jesus said. But what did it say in Matthew 28? All authority given to us so that we might obey, so that we might live it out more completely. We are called to be disciples and to create disciples. More and more people who model, more and more people who worship a living God. And in that, see the church transform a culture. And that begins by mobilizing. We worship, we model, we disciple, we mobilize. We organize, we strategize for the Great Commission. We are the leaders. Are you ready for this? We are the leaders of a revolution. A revolution. Not status quo, a revolution that says, today is done, tomorrow is new. How do we further the kingdom of God? How is it that we worship God in a new way? How is it that we model God in a new way? How is it we disciple ourselves and others in a new way? We mobilize, we strategize, we move forward, we have a game plan to further the gospel message and to change and transform our world. The corporate colors, the hallmarks of the church, worship and model, disciple, mobilize, and that one little two-letter word that Jesus said. Anybody want to know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Go. Go. Don't stay in these four walls. We come here on a Sunday not so that you can all feel good. Not so that I can say, wow, I preached a good sermon. It isn't about us, it's about God, and it's about God speaking to each person here. And in speaking to you, God then inspires you not to sit on your hind end, not to sit in a nice, comfortable, padded pew, but to go everywhere, all the time, and figure out how it is that you can bring hope, that you can bring the revolution to your school, to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your community, where you can bring mercy and justice and concern. Church is a verb in which we are called to wear the corporate colors in a manner in which we go and we model and we disciple and we worship and we transform the world in which we live. Are those the colors that you're wearing? When people look at you, do they see those things in your life? I mean, it's easy. You wear that blue jersey with a big C on it, and people go, Cubs fan. you can't help but miss the maize and the blue and the M, and you see Michigan. Do people look at you and say, wow, there's a child of God. Wow, there is someone who is inspired by the Spirit of God. Wow, there is somebody who is trying to make that difference. Wow, glory to God. Wow. Is that the jersey we're wearing? I just have a few closing thoughts that really took me and caused me to reflect. An author put it very simply, which of these words do you like better? Belief or behavior? Belief or behavior? Exhortation or explanation? Inward, outward. Apathy, outrage. Institution, revolution. One side of those words is definitely the church that Jesus calls us to. That it wouldn't be about some belief. That it wouldn't be about some tradition, but it would be behavior, and people would see it. That it wouldn't be just talking the talk, exhortation, but it would be about walking the walk, explaining the game plan. That it wouldn't be about me and an inward focus, but it would be outward. And I love this. It wouldn't be about apathy, but it would be about outrage. Outrage of what's going on in our world today. And that together we wouldn't simply be an institution. As many people say, we wouldn't be a 503C nonprofit organization, but we would be a revolution. That when people see our colors, there would be power. When people see our colors, there would be movement. When people see our colors, there would be change. That the church is called to lead the revolution. So when you look in your drawer and you see your Cubs jersey, your U of M jersey, your Lions jersey, you name it, you know the story. But when people look at your life, what colors do they see? Are we the church?